before we get into our topic in Psalms, we're going to look at Psalm 45. I want to bring you a few news notes that are relevant or interesting. The first news note is about the book of Psalms. When the pilgrims arrived here in 1620, it's carved into the Plymouth Rock, and founded the Massachusetts Bay Colony, they didn't like the way the book of Psalms had been translated in the King James Version. So they set about making their own translation, and that translation was published in 1640. And a week ago, an original edition, first edition of 1640 of the book of Psalms, was auctioned off. And it sold for $14 million. Now, I want you to look at the third flag over here, Ghana. Because this month, February 22, today, 100 years ago, missions, Adventist missions, were started in that country. Today, I am told there are 400,000 Adventist members in the country of Ghana. Now, on a not-so-friendly note, this month, February, is the month in which the Battle Creek Sanitarium burned. And it has a little bit of Adventist history to it. Ellen White warned them it was becoming too secular and too concentrated, and they needed to move out, move out, move out. And the fire came in February 1902, and there was a big debate about whether it should be rebuilt or not. And eventually they did rebuild it, but there was quite an opposition to it, and Dr. Kellogg, who was the leading light there, was disfellowshipped from the church in 1907. So that's a kind of a little sadder note. Now, about the subject at hand. It was very appropriate that the people handling the microphones were a married couple today, because that's what we're going to speak about. Psalm 45 is about a wedding. Now, when I grew up in Southern California, there was a radio program that used a little poem at the beginning of it, and the beginning went like this. The time has come, the walrus said, to speak of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings. In other words, a broad spectrum of interests, and this was a variety program. And as we look at the book of Psalms, which really is five books of Psalms, with 150 Psalms, you can expect it to cover a broad spectrum of topics. And it does. And so you might expect to have at least one Psalm about a wedding. And that's what we have in Psalm 45. So let's look at the text. The first verse is simply an introduction by one of the writers of the Sons of Korah. And he gives it a title. The title, he says, it's a love song. Some of you may have Bibles with titles on the Psalms. And one of them says, a love song. So we're celebrating love, romance, and marriage here in the month of February. And so we're going to go out with a blaze of glory. We're going to marry the king. What kind of a king is? He's handsome. He's beautiful. Verse 2. And he's blessed by God. And he's resplendent and majestic and glorious. That's what you'd expect of a king. Now, as we looked at the pictures, I looked at two things. I looked at the dates, how many years they'd been married, and then I looked at the brides. And when we go to weddings, the thing that everybody wants to see is the bride. And so when the bride comes in, everybody stands up and looks carefully as she brings her train down. And so I assume they probably did that in ancient Israel too. But there was an exception. And the exception was when the king got married. And that's what we have a case of here. He's resplendent in his royal armor. Now, what kind of a king is this? He's a king who executes the true sentence. That is to say, he's an honest and fair king. And it says he has lips of grace. Well, he probably used the word grace in religious themes, but I think it means something a little bit more than that. I think it means lips of graciousness. That is to say that he spoke kindly to those who received it. And this, of course, as you might expect, is a warrior king. Now, that's why some people think this was written about Solomon, probably on the model of Song of Songs. I don't think so, because there's a couple verses here which says he's a warrior king. In fact, he participated in war himself. He was with his troops when they were fighting. It says that his own bow and arrow were active. That's why I don't think it's Solomon, because Solomon never did that. Solomon's reign was a reign of peace. The reign of David before him was a reign of war, a lot of wars. And that's why he's called a man of blood. But Solomon was a man of peace. In fact, his name even comes from the root of Shalom, which means peace. Now, there were some good kings after him in the country of Judah. There were probably no good kings in the country of Israel in the north. But in Judah, you can think of some of the good kings. Asa was a good king. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Hezekiah was a good king. Josiah was a good king. So maybe one of these righteous kings is the one to whom this one of the sons of Korah addressed this song. And then in the middle of the psalm, we find God. And that's appropriate and fitting. And so it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever." And from that throne comes down the blessing and the scepter and the anointing. Now, when the king was inaugurated in Jerusalem, he stood in front of one of the pillars. Do you remember the two pillars in front of the temple, Joachim and Boaz? The high priests, when they were anointed for office, they stood in front of one pillar. And the king, when he was inaugurated, he stood in front of the other pillar. And they anointed each one of those officers with oil. But I don't think that's exactly what this is referring to. It says, God, your God, actually through human agents, has anointed you above your fellows with oil, the token of joy. Now, why token of joy? Well, I guess it's a happy thing to be inaugurated as king, to have a new king on the throne. But I think this is a special joy. It's a special joy when he's getting married. And your robes are fragrant with different types of perfume. Usually nowadays it's the bride who uses perfume. In this case, it's the king who uses perfume. And so it says your robes are fragrant with myrrh and powder of aloes. And of course, like every wedding, there's music. This is verse 8. Music of strings greets you, a palace paneled with ivory. We have excavated some panels of ivory from the palace in the north, in Samaria. They weren't walls of ivory. There were little panels about like this size that were set in the wall. Pieces of ivory that were carved and were set in the wall of the palace. So we have archaeological examples of these that have been discovered. Now this psalm divides in half. The first half is about the king who is the groom, and the second half is about the bride, the princess who's going to become queen. And so it says, a princess takes her place among the noblest of your women, a royal lady at your side in gold of Ophir. So her wedding garment, as we've seen such beautiful wedding garments up here, in her case, it was interwoven with gold. Now, Ophir was in Africa, on the east coast of Africa. And it took 2 years, 2 years for the gold to come from Ophir. 1 year where they would sail south to the coast of Africa, and the next year they would sail back. So it took 2 years to get that gold. That's how precious these weavings in her wedding garments were. And so the part that you have already heard in the scripture reading, "Listen, my daughter, hear my words." This is the son of Korah speaking again. "And consider them. Forget your own people and your father's house." Remember the instructions in Genesis 2 or 3 that this is what a married couple that unites is supposed to do, to leave parents, still have association with the parents, but leave them behind and a separate house is established. And, of course, what we look to see about the bride, a bride is always beautiful. And so she is beautiful. When the king desires your beauty. And, of course, there are gifts. And the gifts flow in from the richest of countries, even Phoenicia or Lebanon, where Tyre was located. And the reason why rich gifts could come from Phoenicia was because this was a commercial country, that its enterprise was by sea across the Mediterranean to various places, bringing rich gifts from foreign countries. And so these rich gifts are now put at the disposal of the bride. In the palace, honor awaits her. She is a king's daughter. He's marrying a princess. Arrayed in cloth of gold and richly embroidered. Some may translate that, some Bibles may have that translated as with many colors. It sounds like Joseph's coat of many colors. And you remember Joseph got that coat of many colors because he was the especially favored son. And so here's the especially favored princess who is now marrying the king. And her servants come with her. They follow her into the presence of the king. Her companion shall be brought to her, escorted with the noise of revels and rejoicing. And so as they come in, there is rejoicing, music and singing and chanting, as she comes to meet the king. And so what happens? Well, there is a union. And she shall have sons. So she's not to think about her ancestors. She's of the past. She's to think about her sons of the future. And these sons are going to be appointed as rulers in the land or governors of the different provinces. There were governors in the city of Lachish and Megiddo and Hazor. So this is, or Hazor, you might call it. "And I will declare of your name to all generations. Therefore, nations, not singular, plural, not just Judah, but other nations abroad will celebrate this royal marriage." Now, what lesson can we learn from this? Well, in your home, you have a queen and you have a king. And the king should treat the queen as a queen should be treated. And the queen should treat the king as he should be treated. So let that be a lesson to you, that think of your own home as a royal union before God. Now, remember, the two references to God are found in the middle of the hymn. And so that doesn't mean that he separates between the two. It means he puts his arm around the two and brings them together. Now, I want to finish up. I want to look at Revelation 19, because here's another wedding. Revelation 19, Revelation 21, backing up. Look, at, for example, at verse 7. Alleluia. This is the choir in heaven singing Alleluia. The Lord our God, sovereign over all, has entered upon His reign. Exult for shout and shout for joy and do Him homage. For the wedding day of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready, and she has been given a dress of fine linen, clean and shining. Then drop down to verse 9. The angel said to me, write this, happy are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, my friends, you have all been invited to this wedding. And there is a blessing upon you for attending this wedding. When Christ comes for His church, you may ascend with that church. You may be gathered up by Christ Himself and His angels as they are sent out to the four corners of the earth. So remember the solemn invitation to the wedding. And don't be caught unprepared, like the people in the parable about those who were invited to the banquet. They were unprepared or didn't want to go. May all of us be ready to receive Christ as the bride of the church when He comes for the church, and we make up the church. And we have the opportunity of being present for that great wedding. So what a glorious way to end up this month of love, romance, and wedding on the most glorious wedding of all. And all of you be there for that. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for the weddings that have been celebrated here in this church. We pray a blessing upon each couple. May Your Holy Spirit rest in our homes, all of us. And we thank You, Lord, for the promised soon coming wedding with Lord Jesus. May each of us be ready for that great day as we have sung. I pray, lead us on to that great day of the kingdom. We look forward to Your coming, and may it come soon. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.